Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Corpus Christi Sunday, 2008.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert, so as to test you by affliction, and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger, and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert, with its seraph serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock, and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. Alleluia.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian. I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to discuss the readings for the Feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus, Corpus Christi Sunday, as it is known in Latin. Dawn, do you have any thoughts on the body and blood of Christ or anything that might relate to these readings? It obviously is a theme that comes up in both the second reading and in the gospel.
Well, and even a little bit, I like how the first reading talks about being in the desert, Moses in the desert, and having manna. And I like how we have that reading first because God provides for the Israelites wandering around the desert with bread that will sustain them on a temporary level. But then it's connected with our gospel reading today where we have Jesus who is saying he is the bread of life. And so now we have an eternal way to live. That doesn't make much sense, but you know what I mean.
Well, you're right, and that gospel is a foreshadow, or that, sorry, the first reading is definitely a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. And, you know, it's often talked about in many scriptural scholars will talk about that all the time. So you could be a scripture scholar.
I'll stick to being a youth minister.
But I know you had some thoughts you were talking about with earlier we talked about adoration and benediction. And right. A lot of times people sit here and, well, I think a lot of times one thing we should state is that at the Eucharist, I think there's many Catholics who may not fully understand that at the Eucharist, what we believe is going on there is that we are receiving the actual body and blood of Christ. So I think that's an important thing to hit home, because I think sometimes people get this tendency to view it as viewing it as symbolic in some way. And really, that's not an appropriate way to view the Eucharist. We actually believe that it is transubstantiated, we say. So it's changed. It is no longer bread and wine, but it actually is the body and blood of Christ that we receive. And then I know that tags along with various forms of worship that we have, adoration, benediction. I was wondering if you had any thoughts or experience of any of those.
I have a somewhat of some experience with it, probably in lots of parishes around that anybody might be listening to the podcast. They might have like a First Friday exposition, or sometimes on Sunday afternoons they might have benediction. And I think if some of our older listeners might have vast experience with this, it used to be almost very common. Actually, just this weekend, my mom was saying that how she just used to love going to benediction. That's one of her childhood memories, and all the songs that they used to sing. So I think that for us who might be a little bit younger, we're missing something, I guess is the way to put it. The simple way to, if we're talking about exposition and benediction, exposition is...
And adoration.
What'd you say? Too.
And adoration.
And
as
adoration,
well.
Right.
All the shins. We'll throw all the shins in today.
Well...
It's a little shindig.
Oh boy, this is going to be a long podcast. Exposition, we get that word from having the Blessed Sacrament exposed. So exposition, I like how that works. And during that time, if like here at St. Mary's, we have a First Friday. So each First Friday of the month, the Blessed Sacrament is exposed in the chapel, and people can come in and they can pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or they do readings, all different sort of things. So that's exposition. Benediction, though, happens only with a priest or a deacon present. And so that's the difference. That's one of the difference between the two. And I think a lot of times people get confused over what's going on and who can do this and different things like that. But both of those things are adoration. We are adoring the Blessed Sacrament through that. And so I'd encourage everybody.
Adoration's like the bigger, broader term, huh?
Right, exactly.
There we go.
So I'd encourage anybody that doesn't have any familiarity with this to try it out and see it and give it a chance, I guess. A lot of times we get scared of things we don't know, a different prayer style or things like that. And this is a part of our history, and it's a wonderful thing that we should take mm-hmm. advantage of.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that. It is something that I think a lot of people don't focus on as much, although I do know that it's become more and more popular, especially with the youth. I don't know if you do it with the youth group at all, Dawn. I know a lot of Life Teen parishes focus
exactly,
on it, and they found it to be very powerful experiences, is spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, as you said, you know, benediction, that term actually means to, the etymology of the word is to speak well or to bless. It comes from a Latin word, which is like, I can't remember, I think it's benedictio, if I'm not mistaken. But it means to bless or to speak well. Actually, I do remember it now. It's bene, which is well, and dicere, which is to speak, so to speak well. And so benediction is basically speaking well, or basically it's offering praises. So it's a series of praises, and as you said, it's usually led by a priest or a deacon. And a lot of times it's in conjunction with exposition. It'll be the end of exposition. So if the Blessed Sacrament's being exposed, right, you know, all day on a Friday or something like you mentioned, they might end with the last half hour being benediction.
Right.
Now, another thing that I think makes it really difficult on us Catholics is there's this question that you asked me earlier before the podcast, and so I'm going to bring it up here, of cannibalism. And if this is really the body and blood of Christ, are we being cannibalistic? And, you know, here we have Jesus saying here, you know, I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And he says, my flesh is for the life of the world. So it's really clear that Jesus is talking about, you know, eating his flesh. And actually, the words used in the Gospel of John in the Greek, which is the original language of it, actually the word that he uses when he says eat this, it's actually a word that means gnaw. It's like gnawing on flesh, you know. So it's not even something where you can say, oh, it's just, you know, symbolic eat or something like that. No, he said the word he uses means to gnaw on flesh. So then you have to say, well then, gee, are we cannibalistic as Catholics? And of course we want to say no to that. We don't want to become cannibals or say we're supporting cannibalism. And then you have to say, well, how can you reconcile, you know, you're saying you're consuming the body and blood of Christ, and then you're saying at the same time you're not cannibalistic. And this is where the church turns to one of its greatest thinkers, probably one of the greatest thinkers of all time, St. Thomas Aquinas. And what St. Thomas says, and when making this distinction, is he uses a term called transubstantiation. And for anybody who's seen, there's a great episode of The Simpsons where Homer becomes Catholic, and they're taking a test, and the teacher in the religious ed class says, you know, what's it called when the bread and wine are changed to the body and blood of Christ? And Homer Simpson raises his hand, says transubstantiation. And then the kid next to him says he's cheating. And you see written across one of his arms is the word transubstantiation. Then on the other arm is written God good, devil bad. Yeah. But so it is a big word, that transubstantiation, and so some other people might need some help as well as Homer Simpson in terms of remembering it or understanding what it means. And what it's related to, the word it's related to, is transformation. And most of us understand what transformation is, when we have you know, an object and we transform it into another object. So maybe you have a block of marble, and you could transform that into a statue or something like that. That's a transformation. And these are really very philosophical. They're technical terms. There's form and substance is another technical term. And what we'd say is generally what we experience in our life is a lot of transformation. We watch a substance change from like a block of marble to a statue to ultimately, you know, probably a pile of dust. But it always kind of remains this rock or marble substance, no matter how its form changes. But in the case of the Eucharist, this is a very unique case. And what Thomas Aquinas says, what happens is it isn't a transformation, but it's a transubstantiation, meaning that the what it is, which is what we call the substance, the what it is of something, or what it's made of, if you will, changes. And so what we would say is that we have bread and wine, and what it's changed to, the what it is part changes. It's transubstantiated into the body and blood of Christ, but it is not transformed, so it still looks and gives every appearance of being bread and wine. And in that case, it's we receive Christ in the form of food, bread and wine, so it's real food. And Jesus says that in the gospel. He does say that my flesh and my drink, he says, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And that's how we make sense of that, we say, because it's under the form of bread and wine. Another way to look at it too that I mentioned is we talk about the body of Christ, and the body of Christ actually exists in many different ways. There was his proper earthly body that he had while he was walking around doing ministry, the body that was crucified. Then we have his resurrected body, which is a different body, and we understand it's different because we see it has different properties. He can walk through walls, but at the same time, he still eats and drinks, and it's still a body. And that would also be sometimes called his glorified body as well, which is the body that's up in heaven. What we receive in the Eucharist is, it is truly the body and blood of Christ, but it's his sacramental body and blood. So we're not consuming his glorified body. So when we consume the body of Christ in the sacrament, it's not like you can see big chunks of his flesh being removed in his glorified body in heaven or something like that, and he has these big bite marks all over him. That would be the wrong way to view it, but that would be a more cannibalistic way of viewing it. And so we kind of shift away from that viewing and saying, no, what happens is we're consuming him in his sacramental body, and his sacramental body is real food and real drink. It's under the form of bread and wine.
All I have to say is, it's a good thing that you know this, because I would never be able to explain this like you just did. That question actually came to me about cannibalism when I was a freshman in college. Our English professor had asked that or mentioned that or something. And I had no idea how to answer that. I mean, I know what I believe, but I can't put it into words. And so ever since then, not that I'm that old, but ever since then, I've wondered that how I should have responded. And so that might have been a way.
Now, if you're ever asked that again, you can answer the question to somebody. And Dawn, I am looking, and it does appear that we are running out of time on our podcast, so hopefully people have a better understanding of the body and blood of Christ and what it means for us as Catholics, and hopefully they'll be able to incorporate that into their own spirituality and their prayer lives, and of course, we always hope that they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.